If you're listening in the Central West, if you're listening to us this afternoon on ABC Western Queensland, you know that the kids there, your kids, have grown up watching mum and dad absolutely pray for rain. Drought has just gone on and on. But now that the rain has come, instead of salvation, those same children are seeing death. Thousands of cattle, native animals dying as the rain turned to flood, and then the heat has just added to the problem, and then of course the heat turning to cold. ABC's Anita Bolle spoke with Tani Oakhill from Burnfell Station, which is about 70 clicks northwest of Winton. She says the kids have been invaluable, but she wishes that she could have shielded them from some of the things they've had to see.
They helped us drag dead roos and cows out of our machinery shed. They just wanted to do something to help because they felt like that's what's going to make mum and dad feel better, and we'll help you, we'll do it with you. At that point, we just didn't want to say, no, you stay at the house, this is for mum and dad to do. We figure if we can make light of it somehow, even though it's crap, hopefully it's a bit easier on them. And they felt like they'd done something useful and constructive with us, and that's, I think, a good thing in a way.
Mrs. Oakhill says she wished she could have shielded her son and daughter from the devastation left on their property, but it's been hard when it's right there in front of them.
The kids, it's something I think about, you know, when I'm going to bed at night. The days we're still trying to process everything, so we're trying to keep the kids out of the way while we have these conversations, or even while we're not having them and we're just sitting there letting each other process it. The kids have already seen things that I would have liked to shield them from. We just haven't had a chance to protect them from seeing that. We haven't been able to move, so when we go somewhere, we go all together. What's in front of us is there, and there's no hiding it. And they have a lot of questions. We don't have a lot of answers at the minute. Trying to explain sort of hypothermia to them at 7 and 10 years old is tricky as well, because it's raining, so they think that's the miracle cure. Why aren't they eating grass? I'm a little bit concerned with what they've seen. We managed to get to a hill with the gun scope to try and see while we're waiting for a chopper, which was quite busy. And the neighbours below us, you know, were down there putting cows out of their misery, and we're up in the hill, so it's just pow, resonating, pow, 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 these poor buggers down there shooting their cows. And the kids were with us.
Mrs. Oakhill says processing the loss has been difficult.
Maybe in a week's time we can all sit down and have a chat about that week at home. But we'd like to do that with a bit of strength about us, and we just don't have it at the minute. I got a notification this morning from the school to say that they were going to have counselling services at the school and parents could be involved, or if the kids wanted to go, to let them know. And I got a bit emotional because I thought, thank God, it feels like everything's on us at the minute, and we've got so many things to answer for and so many solutions to come up with, and these guys as well, and they're the most important. So to have someone there to support us, support them professionally, who know what they're doing at a time when we just don't know what the hell else to do, was a huge relief for me.
Children have been showing signs of anxiety following the flooding event. According to Winton State School Principal Carol Hall, she says it's important to identify when someone is struggling and encourage them to speak out about their feelings.
When you only have 1,000 people who live in town, everybody's affected.
Outback Futures have sent psychologists to the region to help residents and speak to school teachers about the best way to support the children. Chief Executive Officer Selena Gomesall.
Got those kids who've actually seen and witnessed and been helping with stuff that no person, let alone a child, should ever be dealing with, really. And we cannot underestimate the trauma that that can create for a child.
Tani Oakhill there from Burnfell Station, 70 clicks northwest of Winton, speaking with ABC's Anita Bolle. Michael Nagel is the Associate Professor, or one of them, in Human Development and Learning at the University of the Sunshine Coast. Michael, thank you for joining us. You just heard of some of the really, you know, quite horrible sights kids in central western Queensland have had to witness. What do we know about the kind of emotional fallout or trauma that sort of event can have on developing little minds?
Well, there's no question that the children seeing those types of events can be very traumatic. And it really depends on their age and how much exposure they've had to those sorts of things. And the kind of support they get to sort of meander through that, I suppose, from parents and caregivers around them.
Well, terrible experiences, of course, are part of life, sadly. How hard should we try to shelter the kids from, witnessing events that we deem we just don't want, you know, as a parent or a caregiver or even just a friend, you don't want little people exposed to.
Yeah, the research literature around that is somewhat contentious because there is a school of thought saying if you shelter too much, then you might not be building resilience in young people. And I think the most important thing is when these experiences do happen is to handle them in a way that allows them to see that, you know, it's probably a one-off event in their life and they can get through it.
How should parents respond when their child has witnessed a traumatic event, possibly that's been out of their control, something that's happened at school or you're driving past, an incident? I remember recent as last year, driving past a turned over truck where all the sheep, you know, had been mostly killed or either in the incident or needed to be put down. And that haunted me for days. How would you deal with it if your kids just didn't know they were going to see it and then, boom, there it was?
Well, there's two things. One of the most important things is for the parent or the adult having these conversations with kids is to remain calm and not show any stress themselves, because children are very, very good at reading stress in adults. And if they see that over, you know, that sense of worry or concern permeating the adult sphere, then they tend to take that on board. And I suppose the other thing is it's important to have honest conversations and to let them know that while this event has happened, it's a one-off sort of thing, or it's not going to happen all that frequently in the lives of the child.
What are some of the impacts, like the things to after a traumatic event? Even just witnessing things on the news can be pretty horrifying at times, or in movies that perhaps you did not deem were fit for your children, but somebody else, you know, they sneak through the cracks. What sort of things should we be on the lookout for that might tip us off to the fact that they're not dealing with things or not processing it as well as they could?
Probably the most important thing is to see if you see a dramatic change in behavior. And that can range from anything from feeling, you know, they might tell you they're feeling a little bit physically ill, or they're not sleeping well, or they just seem out of sorts, for want of a better term. And that's usually a pretty good indicator that something's going on.
Mm. I imagine this would be different for different age groups. So let's start with when you'd be old enough. What age would a child be old enough to register something as, you know, not quite right or traumatic?
Well, that depends very much on the experience of the child, and there's such an array of difference between individual children.
And as you said, how the adults around them are behaving.
Absolutely. So, you know, it varies again from age group to age group, and so it really depends, I suppose, on the event, what it is, because some events present as more traumatic than others. And so it's hard to say exactly when that time might be. But as I said to earlier, the most important thing is for parents to be part of that process, or a significant adult. And many times that could be a teacher or a coach or anyone else for that matter.
So if you yourself are struggling, perhaps as a parent, maybe introducing somebody who's maybe at one step removed that can come in and hang with the kids and perhaps do some explaining?
Absolutely. And depending on, again, on the situation, if you see extreme difference or difficulties in the child or extreme change in behavior, it might even mean some kind of professional help, seeking some kind of professional assistance to ensure that child is safe.
So if you're sitting there, you know, it's the first time your kids have ever witnessed a traumatic event and you don't have, you haven't needed those resources, you might not be someone who's ever had counselling themselves. Are there some good places to start when it comes to finding the right person, the right type of counsellor to work with your kid?
Yeah, actually there is. And, you know, the funny thing is I'm a little bit of a Luddite, I suppose, when it comes to technology. But
you pick up the phone?
Yeah, we do. But but you turn technology into, it's surprising how many resources you can find online just by, again, Googling whatever the trauma is. Before coming in today, I had a look at some things dealing with what was going on up north, and it was surprising to see how many people were online or talking about different things, which can be helpful in itself. And I suppose one of the other things that's happened up north, you know, it's parents can talk to young people about, is that while this has happened, it also, if there's a silver lining in the cloud, it brings people together. It's a great evidence of humanity, because whenever these things happen, you know, whether it's a hurricane or a flood or the floods that were in Brisbane a while back, it brings people together and you see the best of humanity. And that's a good news story that we should see more of and maybe telling children about as well.
Mm. Would that include taking kids to a community event, you know, in the aftermath, which is designed to do exactly that, bring the community together, celebrate some resilience, just hang out with each other, even if there's a few tears, lots of hugs and seeing friendship?
Absolutely. I mean, for children, again, for humanity, I suppose, at all ages, we all need to feel safe and secure. And one of the best ways for children to feel safe and secure is when they have a community around them, letting them know that they are safe.
Mm. So where to begin if you think, I know there's the big guns like Lifeline, who will always, do some research on your behalf, should you need them. There's Kids Helpline. Are there any other resources that come to mind when it comes to sorting out who might be a good counsellor for your kids?
I think what happens, Sheridan, is when these events occur, what you tend to see is that via the news or reporting, you'll see an array of specialists or array of people that people can get in touch with. And so it's difficult to say exactly which one is the best because no two events are the same. So when you're talking about, I don't think anyone really anticipated the death of hundreds of thousands of animals as a result of the floods. So consequently, there are resources that are coming out in the news and online saying, look, here's some things you can use and people you can contact to help you with this.
Mm. And in a more general nature, if for whatever reason you think that your child might need some counselling of a professional nature, is there like a, Queensland group of psychiatrists that we can go through or psychologists or a group of counsellors, social workers?
I might be a bit biased coming from university. But universities tend to have a fair number of resources as well. And so most universities will have specialists in counseling, academics who specialize in counseling or psychology or any one of those fields. And they tend to be able to, if they can't give you someone on campus who might be able to assist, they certainly have a raft of information resources they can provide to you.
So you could go to, the University of Central Queensland if you're in that area.
Cook University perhaps,
University of the Sunshine Coast.
Absolutely.
One of our many great Queensland universities. Michael, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Really appreciate your time.